good things going around. If you are not praying for someone on our team, please pray for someone. And I need a bunch of you praying for us. And please, we are going on this mission trip. We haven't described it yet all in full, but and the children's team, and you need to be praying for our fearless leaders here. Would you take a stand, please? Just stand and turn around, face the people. Come on, can we just? And all of our children department heads and all of our fearless. I'd like to put a bunch of people all together and how about we just I won't go there. Anyway, God's doing great things. I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for the teams and bless them. Next week's going to be really powerful. It's going to be awesome. Okay, I'm going to preach. Got a word for you. And the word today, I'm going to continue. I did a series on the fivefold, but I want to tag this one on the fivefold. I'm not talking about the fivefold, but I want to talk about what happens with them. You know, we've been talking about coaches, but what about the team? Somebody say amen in the house because you're on the team. So I want to talk about you today, and I want to talk about some of the benefits. And have you ever seen a team photo? Yeah. What's that look like when they zero in on you? Huh? And so I want to talk about that. I want to take a snapshot of a team member. Father, bless your word. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I know it's a long text, Ephesians 4, 12 through 24, but I have to catch up because people said you've been on the same text for 4 weeks, Pastor. So we're going to rip through a bunch of verses starting in verse 12. I'm just messing. Here we go. Ephesians 4, verse 12. What is the results of the fivefold trainers? Here it is. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. You need to say amen five times somewhere in the next 24 verses. So I want you to take your hand and start. And when you like something, just amen it. And you need to get to five before I get to verse 24. Okay, here we go. Here we go. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind or doctrine by the trickery of men, cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which each part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work of uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard, you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him the truth that is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in the true righteousness and holiness. If you didn't get five, just say a couple more right now so you can just get it out, so you can be a person of your word. So, what's it look like to be on God's team? And how do we look different? And you know, like, have you ever seen somebody that, you know, they go off to college, they come back, and you're like, man, you look different. Something happened as they went through that maturation process, even a four-year term or even a few. I mean, sometimes there's transitional points in our life. But when you get on God's team, you get transformed. I am so not the person who got saved way back there. Well, the person before I got saved. And even once I got saved, I have grown. We're like, okay, we'll leave that one alone. I'm not going any rabbit trails right now. So what's that look like? You know, and well, who cares? We should. Proverbs 16:4, it says, the Lord has made everything for his own purposes. God has a purpose. And when he made you, he has a purpose. And it's an adventure when you find out God has a purpose for you. It's an adventure discovering God's purpose for your own life. Ephesians 1:4 in the message, we read this as in the study, and it says, long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love. Can you imagine all kinds of people, and he just focused in on Mr. Bear? I'm Mrs. Bear. I'm Billy Love. Is that your last name? Because we just going to make it that anyway. And he's so loving. He's a big teddy bear. You know, he, come on. I mean, have you ever felt like God doesn't care about me? God's not paying attention. Do you understand? Do you even care, God? Yes, he cares. We were the focus of his love to be made. Now look what he says, to be made whole and holy by his love. Well, we just get loved on. We get his love, and with the focus of his love, we get made whole and holy. I think that's awesome. God wants us whole, and he wants us holy, and he picked us to be on his team. We have to settle that. Verse 12, it was started out, to prepare God's people for works of service. There's stuff that God wants to accomplish, and he uses us to do it. That's the NIV. In the New King James, it says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We need to understand, when it says for the equipping of the saints, the word equipping is an interesting Greek word, kartizo, and it says this. What it means is to be made complete, mending, perfect, restore. What it implies is the recovery of wholeness, as if when a bone is set. Have you ever had somebody that had a bone that got a compound fracture, or a bone that was dislocated, and then the bone gets reset? Painful, but after it gets reset, it's like, whew, hallelujah, are you here? Well, that's what the fivefold does, is it puts the thing back in, it resets the bone. So when it's out, it can't function the way it was created to function. So you know, like you say, well, we're on a sports team and you're trainers. We're also, what do they call that? The sports trainers too. And if you're on the team and you have an injury, we're going to go and take you to the sidelines. You ever seen him sit there and you're like, man, guy's getting a full massage on that table, man. They are working him. And then he comes back and everybody cheers. He's back in the game, you know. The fivefold also helps set things back in order that are out of order. Because sometimes parts of the body, they're just not functioning. And it needs to be set back into its place. But when it functions properly, it's awesome. You ever taken some apart and you're working on a car read, and then all of a sudden there's a spare part and you're like, we're in trouble. Because something's not going to function right. You got to go back and figure out, man, that was a big mistake. You know, God doesn't make mistakes. And no part is supposed to be pushed aside and not used. It all fits. It all has a purpose. There's each one of us. So, you know, we're called to run the race that's been set out before us. And so we need to be fixed. We need to be trained at least. And once a medic sets a bone, it heals. Then the trainers teach them how to properly use it, how to work it. And sometimes even when a bone was set out, you say, man, I was all messed up. When the bone heals, it's stronger than it was before it was broken in that place, because it rebuilds around it and it becomes even stronger. And sometimes we get broken, but God makes us even stronger. Where we're weak, he becomes strong. Paul said, it's not I, it's Christ who lives in me. So, this word implies a discovery of power to the part of the body that's being used the way it's intended from creation. So there's a discovery of power. And, it also kind of describes the equipping of the saints. This word equipping talks about mending. It also speaks about having some kind of equipping or equipment, like a soldier gets equipment. Some guys better ooh-rah that one. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty for the pulling down of strong. There's weapons. Guys, there's weapons. Somebody just say there's weapons. There's weapons. God trains us. He equips us. He gives us weapons. Spiritual. We don't hurt people, but we do good things with them. But, you know, we need them, because the devil, he's a dog, and he comes at you with his evil weapons, and God trains us and gives us and equips us with weapons of light that break the power. Huh? Can I tell you right now, you know, if when Jesus was facing the devil, he didn't say, like, where's my AK? The devil's in the, you know, devil's in the garden. I'm going to take him out. You know, he used the word. We need to learn there's a word of God and there's weapons, and God trains us and equips us and teaches us how to function the way heaven functions. So there is a war. There is warfare. So the first one, number one, is I want to talk about a snapshot of a team member. Number one, we're to build up. 1A. One is snapshot team member. We are built up. So if you're a team member, you're going to be built up. You're going to start looking stronger. People are going to go, man, you've been working out. Yeah, if you're in God's team spiritually, you look like you've been working out. Huh? It says for the edifying of the body. That's the building up of the body. In the NAS, it says for the building up of the body. It produces strength like a bodybuilder. Huh? It's like Josh and Jen, you know? It's like they're being built up, buffed up. Jagger, you got a good one. Stand up. Here's Jagger. Here's a good illustration. Spiritually, we look like that. Okay, I just want to let you know, I look like that spiritually. I have a six-pack under there somewhere. It's just, it's beneath that, but it's there. And so spiritually, though, I look like that. Just messing. And so one, we're built up. So if you're on God's team, you get built up. And you say, well, I don't feel very strong. You will. Stay on the team. You get built up. And the next one, 1B, is we're growing in maturity. You say, well, you might not be there yet. None of us are there yet. Paul said, I haven't arrived. And look how great he was. Wrote 2/3 New Testament. Yeah, I haven't arrived. But he pressed towards a mark. And does it's not an excuse to stay immature. We are to study, show ourselves approved. We are to grow. We are to mature. It speaks of people who are no longer dependents. Rather, they've matured and they work and the body builds itself up. If all you have is a bunch of babies and there's nobody in there to help those babies, you're in trouble. And if all you have is people that are more mature and you don't have any babies, you're also in trouble because it's like you're going to age yourself out here. We need a balance. So there's constantly new babies coming in and there's people being raised up. There's babies. There's the middle ground, you know, to the whatever. And then there's, you know, the mature. So we become children and sons and fathers and mothers. So, and unity is a sign of maturity. It says in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith. That's a sign of our maturity. See, together we can do stuff that we can't do separate. And that's what God wants us to do, is to learn that there is synergy and there is something that we can do together. We cannot do apart. And you know, some people say, well, I'm strong enough. I can be independent. That's not God's way. God's way is team, and your strength and your energy is to help someone else. And sometimes you think you have something down until someone comes along next to you and they do it better, and then you learn by them. And then before long, you're like, man, I hang out with them and I'm doing this thing better because they see it a little different, or they have a more of strength and I'm gleaning from their strength. Are you with me? It's not so much focused here on us as individuals as it is a body. And it takes all of us, the church, to grow into all things, up into all things, because we're not all things. We're a part. Next one, 1C, we're marked with love. And he says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things who is the head. And then in verse 16, it says it causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in what? Love. So if you want to know what the body looks like, what's a snapshot of someone on God's team? It's love. Every time I'm not loving, I got to like, that's not God's team. I need to be loving. And then when I do things and I say, that's not a loving thing, I need to like own it. You know, I was having this conversation with my son yesterday, who's, you know, is almost 20. But I was telling him, I said, you know, he's getting ready. We're empty nesters in 2 weeks. You know, he goes off and praise God. Okay. And I was just saying, you know, we're acknowledging something. And I said, you know, your dad makes mistakes. I've made mistakes. He said, yeah. But I said, but I come to you and I tell you, I made a mistake and I own it. Are you with me? Is anybody here? Whenever we see something we do and it's not loving, we get to go back and say, no, that's not the way it goes. This is the way it goes. Are you with me? We don't ignore it. We don't just walk away from it. We'll turn dysfunctional if that's the way it gets. But you make a mistake, you go to it, you own it, and you say, what I did was wrong. That's wrong. That's not right. I own that. And then you move on. Are you here? And hopefully you do that less and less until Jesus comes. And then someday I hope you don't do that thing at all. And it's another thing. And then you're dealing with small things, you know, but you're still dealing with something all the way till Jesus comes. It just, it's different stuff. Are you here? So let's take a snapshot of someone prior to being on God's team. I know you guys don't like this part, but it's here. Let's read it. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk like the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their minds, the emptiness of their minds, having their understanding darkened. Have you ever been around a bunch of dark people, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work uncleanness with greediness? That's some messed up stuff, but it doesn't take much to figure out. They're all around us. I got any amens left in you, or did I get them all out of you? They're around us. So 2A is one of the signs of not being on God's team is a lack of purpose and actions. The Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. They're empty. Their minds are empty. There's not really a lot of purpose. There's not a lot there. if life is just about amassing a pile of stuff so that you can like be the one with the most toys, it's like something's messed up. There's a lack of purpose there. And the next one, so 2A is a lack of purpose in action. 2B is building with black blueprints. Have you ever had blueprints that, you know, you can't read them? You ever tried to build something with no blueprint? And then before long, you think, I wish I would have built this way because now it's too late. I've already got stuff built on top of it. We ministered in Brazil. There's a Brazil team going out here in another month or two. And we ministered in the favelas. And in the favelas, it's the biggest slums in the world are there in Brazil. And we ministered in them and it was powerful. But when you go in, it was just a hillside that they built one little shack of a house. They built another thing on top of it, built another thing on top of it. There's no sewer, no electricity, nothing. The sewer runs down the street. You walk around it and it's just built like just a hodgepodge mess of just buildings and all this stuff stacked all over itself. Are you here? It doesn't look like there was any kind of blueprint because it wasn't. And when you don't have Jesus, sometimes your life is like that. And it says in verse 18, having their understanding darkened. So to life, they just don't have a blueprint. They don't even know how to build. That life isn't what it's all about because it's dark. So God is light and God is a designer of life. So when you cut on God's team, suddenly everything becomes light. The lights go on and you understand life. The next one, C, is living in direct opposition to God. Somebody who's not on God's team, it says that having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That's hell. That's hell. If hell was nothing else, if there was no worms, no fire, no pain, no torture, no torment, nothing, alienation from God, that's hell. God is life. Hell is everything but life. There's no tears and sadness in heaven because it's all in hell. And for all eternity to have that, that's crazy. But just to not have the presence of the living God, to not have love, to not have light, that's hell. And it says here that when they were not on God's team, they were alienated from the life of God. We got to get them on God's team. We got to learn to love people into the kingdom. We got to turn the lights on and say, you can come out from this. You know, instead of just like, you got to cross that thing. If you're feeling shy and don't want to get rejected, how about we get enough love where we don't care about rejection? Let's get them out from that darkened state. Let's get them out from that opposition to God. Let's get out. They're kicking against God and they don't even know it. Don't get offended that they have, you know, all this tatted out with stuff that's really offensive to God. Just get past it and love them into the kingdom. I think when their bodies, they get a new body, it probably won't have the offensive things on it. It won't make it to heaven. I'm not bagging on tats. I'm bagging on the fact that sometimes we let the cultural things keep us from saving the very people that God's just, he went to the cross for. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the next description, 2D, is of somebody who's not on God's team is they ignore their inner convictions. You see, the Holy Spirit was sent in the world to convict the world of sin and righteousness. The Holy Spirit's the one who convicts. You may say something and then they go, I don't want you to talk to me. You're condemning me. And then you got to identify and say, that's the Holy Spirit. If your heart's being condemned, because he's the one who judges the world of sin. I don't judge. I love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. The truth is this. Hey, here. We get to speak the truth. The Holy Spirit's job is to bring conviction. If someone's feeling conviction, it's because of the Holy Spirit. Somebody who's not on God's team, they ignore those convictions. They ignore. They don't want Holy Spirit to convict them. They don't want Holy Spirit to tell them. No one's going to tell me what to do. Man, that's a messed up life. I kind of like to have the Holy Spirit being my personal guide. Let me drop you off in the wilderness in a helicopter with nothing and ask you if you need a guide or not. Okay, you know, I think it'd be exciting, but okay, some people wouldn't. I like the challenge, it'd be cool, but you know, I'm just saying, like, you know, whatever. I'm trying to just bring an illustration. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. A lot of things we can get messed up on, and I don't want those. I've told you this before, but it was so funny. One time I was a youth pastor, and I was hiking in Yosemite, and I'd never been on this trail. And we were in the pitch dark of night, and there's a Y in the road, and I've got to choose which way to go. And we started to go, and I felt the stop signs. You know, have you ever felt stop signs from the Holy Spirit? Don't do that. Don't do that. And then something happens. You go, I wish I didn't do that. I went up and I went, it's that way. The upper one. And they go, why? I said, yeah, I know for sure. I just knew the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad we took that way because we would have ended up down at the bottom of the falls and had to hike all the way up again. And it was a mess. So we went the right way because the Holy Spirit guided me on a trail in the dark, in the night with about a dozen youth trying to get to our destination. So Holy Spirit's pretty good to have with you. And you can ask him things. Should I do this? Should I go here? Should I? Because the scriptures tells us he leads us and guides us into all truth. He's our personal guide. Why would we ignore him? People on God's team, they don't ignore the Holy Spirit. They don't ignore the leading. People without God, they ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they get in huge trouble. And the next one, they refuse to see on the inside because they're all interested in the outside. So let's look at number three, four actions of a team member. So what's a team member do? It says in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus Christ. So we're different. So what is that? 3A is team members are they're learners. They're learners. Look, you know, you may say, well, I've graduated. I don't need a book again. No, you need to keep learning. You need to learn. If you're on God's team, you need to constantly be learning. A dog is not man's best friend. A book is. Because we need to keep learning. And the book is the best. It's not just, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There's you know, like 66 counselors in there waiting to speak to you and to lead you into what you need to be led into. There's all kinds of good stuff there if you're open to learn. I've read that before. That's not, a learner looks and says, I've read that before, but let me read it different. Let me look and say who you wrote it to. Let me look and say how I can apply it. Let me look at how it fits me. Let me look at how it fits my neighbor. Let me look at how it fit. Let me look at what I can get here to give to someone else. A team member, they're learners, but you've not so learned Christ. He didn't say you've learned about Christ. False religion teaches us about Christ. History books teach us about. Yet he uses the words, you've not so learned Christ. The word carries the idea of discipleship. More than just knowledge, it means learning Christ. That's deeper. And the next one, 3B, team members are listeners. Have you ever talked to somebody and they're not listening? They're not listening at all. Usually if they're texting, they're not listening. I say, I'll talk to you if you stop texting. But just messing. You know, I know you're writing notes right now. You're not texting somebody. Especially when you go, and then you look down to see if anyone watched you. I know that was an aha moment in the sermon, probably. Yes, but just saying, it's okay. I get those times come. And come to me, too. Yeah. Hey, they have tasers in the sound booth, and they will get you if you're texting. It's kind of cool. A new thing we added to the tech and light crews. Verse 20:21. But you so not learn Christ, if indeed you've heard him. Once again, it's not so much about something that enters the ear. It's about hearing Jesus. Because people can let things enter their ear, but they didn't hear it. They really weren't listening. It's about hearing and responding. And Jesus said that, you know, he who built his house upon the rock is the one that hears and acts. It's about really hearing it. I got that. I'm not going there again. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. It's one thing to hear his voice. It's another thing to hear his voice, to know him and to follow him. You get it? So if you're on God's team, you're expecting his voice. You can leave saying, how can I avoid this situation? Even on simple things. Should I drive this way? Why? You should drive to work a different way. And then suddenly there was this big old pile up and you're like, wow, thank you for your voice. We've avoided some crazy things. Just listen to the voice of God. So Jesus made some notes on the difference between the lost and those who are not. Next one, 3C, is team members are teachable. And when you think you got it all down, you're not really on God's team. You're out there on the field, but you're not listening to the trainers. You know, you're like posing and flexing into reflection. And, you know, you're not really trying to like learn how they're telling you really need to do this and pay attention. You need to carry the ball different. You're like, dude, look at my stats. Have you seen me on the streets? Have you seen me lately? It's like we all need to get better, and if we can't learn from someone else, then we're in trouble. When we stop learning, we kind of pull ourselves off God's team. And come on, Jesus went to the synagogue every week. Jesus went to church every week, as was his custom. Jesus went to church every week, as was his custom. Jesus went to church every week, as was his custom. Jesus went to church. Jesus went golfing. Jesus didn't go golfing. Jesus went to church every week as his custom. Jesus slept in because it was rainy day, fireplace, cold, kind of cool. No, Jesus went to church every week and then went to the fireplace. And Jesus went fishing. No, Jesus went to church and then went fishing. Or got up and went fishing, Steve, and then went to church still because you were out with an early bite. It's okay. But Jesus went to church as was his custom. We need to stay teachable. I mean, my goodness. Just saying. I think I'll say that one again. Jesus went to church. Team members are teachable. And then 3D, team members live in the truth. And he says something interesting here, and you might not catch it if you don't look at this one. It says, but you've not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. We need to catch that truth, faith is. It's not yesterday's manna went rotten if you saved it till tomorrow, but it is good for that day. Truth is good, and it's good every day. So we need to grab it, hold it, embrace it. And what did I put on the outlines? Okay, I skipped that part. That was wise, because I have a bunch of pages. Cassie said it's too much. You were prophetic. I'd finished the outline. That was pretty good, Cassie. 4 A, B, and C, and D, they're going to come sometime in the near future, but I think that was the word of God. So we, as a people of God, I'll just give you a summary. We never stop learning. And he tells us these few training tips that we need to put off the old and be renewed in our minds. It's something that is not like I have to. When you're in love with football, you want to go play football. When you're in love with baseball, you want to go. When you really like that, you want to do that. When you find the thing that you really like, well, we need to like get to the point where we just want to spend some word time. We just want to get in there and renew our minds. And even if you say, well, I don't really like reading that way, great, listen to it and meditate and walk and hear the word of God, but you need to get the word of God and get your mind renewed. And some of us that stop memorizing, you need to start memorizing scripture. It's not just for children's church. It renews our mind. And if you'll take and just memorize and say, I'm going to memorize and just focus on one verse because I read all this, but give me one verse I can just meditate on today and it'll renew you. It'll stick. We need the words that stick. Psalmist said that word I've hidden in my heart. Let's hide it in our hearts. Would you stand with me? Your word is so good and we're on your team. And I just want to ask you, if you don't know you're on God's team, why? Why don't you get on the team? He's waiting to put you, he's waiting to just adopt you and take you over and not just to be like some subpar child of God, but to be the apple of his eye, to be the one that, you know, he's just waiting. He wants to lead you. He wants to give you his Holy Spirit inside of you. So you'll have all those inner things. You'll sense those inner stop signs that he'll lead you, that he'll whisper and whisper in your ear to hear things, small things, but sometimes they're important things. You know, they're little things, but God speaks to us. And when you tone that and you hone it in, you learn how to hear, then it comes when it's really important. You know, like my friend Wayne Myers, and he's driving on the road and he's got an escort and he's on the mountainous roads. And he tells the driver, get on the other side of the road. He said, what? He said, get on the other side of the road. And the guy goes on a mountain turn on the opposite side of the road and a car passes on the other side. Would have gotten a head-on collision and killed him. And at 94, 95, he's still preaching the gospel and ministering right now because he had a listening ear and he knew God was telling him, get the car on the other side of the road. Trouble's coming around the corner. And choo. I was telling someone yesterday that happened on the freeway with me when a van was in front of me. And I observed the motorhome in front of the van swerve. So I swerved thinking a tire. And then the van swerved and the car went by in the fast lane on Interstate 8, right by me. I was like, if I wouldn't have reacted, that van would have moved and I would have had a head-on car kissing the girl of mine. We need to have a listening ear. And we need to have the eyes and the ears to say, God, show me what you're doing and speak to me. And I'm your child and I'm in your game. And every day, even if I don't feel like it, you know, like how do we do that? How did Cal Ripken start more games than any other starter? How did he do it? He said, I learned to play injured. He played when he's on the field no matter what, how he felt. And we get to get up and play on God's field every day, no matter how we feel. And if we feel out of joint, we feel sore, he'll put it back and we come to church and we get mended and we get things put back in place. And we have trainers and we have equippers and we have sports doctors to help us. God provided all that so you could stay in the game all the way. Because he doesn't care who started and phased out as much as he wants those. He cares. Let me take that back. He cares. He doesn't want anyone to peace out. He doesn't want any starters who don't finish. He wants finishers. That's what Paul said. I finished the fight. Jesus, I've not lost one that you've entrusted to me. I finished with the work you've put before me. He said on the cross, it's finished. We need to finish well. Finish. I just pray right now for that God, that you'd show them that they're being trained and equipped to finish, and that you can. Every one of you is important. That God has your purpose laid out. That you're the apple of his eye and he loves you so much. I hope if anything you got, you get that out of this, that he looks at you as that object of his love. I don't care how man looked at you and how your natural mother and father or people in authority, God looks at you with all the potential, all of that which he knows is inside of you. And he, every day, he wants to lead you and guide you. And I just ask you, if you just bow your heads for a second, if you're here and you say, I don't know that Jesus, I know about him. Religion knows about him, but Christianity is a relationship to know him and to know his ways. And the Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we shall be saved. If you believe in your heart, but you say, I don't think I've ever confessed with my mouth. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know that. Would you make it known now and today? The Bible says today's a day of salvation. And I ask you, will you just pray that prayer with me and say, today I want to know God. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, that's me. Today I want to know. I want to be in the family of God. I want to know. I want to know. I want to set it sure. Amen. Anyone else? Just say, that's me right here. And then for those of you, amen. For those of you who, I know you've said the prayer before, but I just pray. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit, the helper, comes inside. I want to pray your hearing gets better. I want to pray that the hunger for that you'd yearn for that to be taught and led. I want to pray that God fires up your metabolism to be the learner again, that you start digging after a truth in the Bible and really studying after some things that really help you grow and to perform better in that mission field called life. And I just want to pray for you. So all around the room, would you just pray this prayer with me and just say, Father, I believe the gospel. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Fill me with your Spirit. Lead me and guide me. I want to stay teachable. I want to know your voice. I want to know you. And I want to do what you tell me. I just pray for you right now, God. I pray that you'd bless each person here. I pray that you'd fill them with your Spirit. You can just lift your hands. You can do whatever you want, but just receive. Fill them, God, with your Spirit. Fill them with your presence. Fill them, God. God, let it go with them, Holy Spirit. Speak to them like they never have before. I pray for an expectancy, God, that they'd have, that they'd know, God, that you're speaking, even on the little things, and guide them on the big things, but train them with the little things, God. I thank you for each one, and I pray you go with them, and I pray, God, that they would start to see in you. I pray their testimonies would increase crazy, and I thank you for your great love. I bless each one of them in Jesus' mighty name. And somebody in the house said, amen. Amen. God bless you.